maybe people don't equate it to the idea that, well, or what they do equate it to is this: sell everything and follow me, you know, sell everything mm-hmm. you have and follow me. Don't worry about the dead. Let them bury themselves. Let, you know, follow me, die to yourself and follow me, pick up your cross daily and follow me. And people equate that to like, oh, I've got to be apart from everything that I know, every person that I know, and just be on this soul journey with Jesus. And actually, it's no, this journey involves me, Jesus Christ. This journey involves me at the head of the journey. You're following the leader. I'm going before you. You are following me. And all those things, your family and those things, are part of your journey.
We read in Matthew 24, Jesus' words, that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. But Jesus needs you as a Christian to become equipped for this work. Welcome to the Catalytic Podcast, a ministry resource of 1-8 Catalysts. This podcast exists to give you practical and easy-to-remember tools toward spiritual growth that leads to Great Commission fulfillment. We'll also have interesting interviews of people who have walked the journey towards Great Commission fulfillment, and we'll be able to hear their stories. And now it's time for the Catalytic Podcast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for this, the 33rd episode of the Catalytic Podcast. I'm Mike Falkenstein, and I'm so glad to be here again with my friend Ken Watmore. And Ken, you know, we're kind of beginning this season in talking about being and making disciples in the Western Church. And the episode before this was really good, kind of just laying out kind of what is a disciple of Jesus and kind of what that looks like. And these are good things to be talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it. The last episode was good. It was good because I feel like, you know, I'm learning and growing as we do these things. I think that's a really good note for people, right? When you talk about these issues and as believers, that fellowship and that that experience of growth is so critical, right? Like as you discuss who Jesus is, what it means to be a disciple, what are some things that like we talked about distractions in the last episode.
Yeah.
You know, as we walk through those together in discussion, it grows us.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's discipleship.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this idea that if you're talking about these things and thinking about them a lot, they are on the forefront of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, as Christians and as disciples of Jesus, we do want to be making much of Jesus, right? So, in fact, I would even say if they're not at least somewhat in the forefront of your mind, there's, you know, potentially something to be said about how they should be.
Yeah.
Because if it's only sports and your job and family and all those things are super important, but those things will pass away over time, you know? I mean, when we're in heaven, no one's going to care who won Super Bowl 55.
Right.
You know, those things are sort of secondary, as interesting as they are. And so, yeah, God really does want us to be, you know, disciples of Jesus and talking about that a lot and working at doing that. And so a quick review, Ken, from the last episode. So we did talk about how a disciple of Jesus listens to Jesus, learns from Jesus, and obeys Jesus. So for those listening, if you were just catching this episode and you did not hear the one previously, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that one as well. And so I think, Ken, in the last episode, in terms of those three characteristics of disciple of Jesus, we really did agree that all three of those are really important, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. And I love the distinction. We shouldn't say the distinction, but first identifying what it means to be a Christian and then what it means to be a disciple. So I think that's important.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so Ken, if we kind of look at what we did last episode and we kind of move forward, I wanted to talk in today's episode about what makes being a disciple of Jesus a lot of times really hard. And then give folks some encouragement in terms of kind of, you know, how do we do this well? And so I've got just a couple of ideas, Ken, in terms of why many Christians are not fully devoted, you know, of course, there's just all the statistics that indicate, at least in terms of the North American church, people really struggle at this. I mean, it's really, you know, everything from at the church level, you know, discipleship.org, the organization did a study recently and indicated that only 5% of North American churches have a reproducible disciple making strategy, to, you know, 50 some percent of the people in our congregations, you know, have never heard of the Great Commission nor know how to do it. I mean, it's just something that's really kind of this foreign thing, this idea of, you know, being a disciple, making disciples. And so I often start in the conversation, this conversation, Ken, looking at Luke chapter 9. And in Luke 9, you know, Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. And so in this teaching session, Ken, you know, we're looking at Jesus is calling all to come after him. And this phraseology is kind of foreign to our kind of our modern English, but this phrase come after me simply means who would pursue him and want to know him better. And so really this idea of denying ourselves and coming fully pursuing Jesus on one hand is something he's calling us to do, but in our modern lives, it's kind of hard to do sometimes, isn't it?
Boy, it sure is. Again, as we talked about distraction in the last episode, I think that's the key here. We're moving so fast as a culture, and we're so involved in so many things. Guilty as charged. Our family is, we have a large family, and we're involved in so many different things. And even though we try and hone it in, those things can all be distracting from being fully devoted to following Christ, you know, because we just are busy. And we, you know, it's not that we're not busy as Christians. We're busy as Christians. And we are, you know, we are living out our life as Christians, as our family, right? But we're still distracted from the devoted nature of, you know, our time with Christ, our time in God's word. Thankfully, you know, with our kids that are home still being homeschooled, and my wife is, you know, very good at, they have their time in the Bible all the time as students, which is awesome because that is true, you know, studying God's word and learning to be a disciple through the nature of studying God's word.
Right.
Which is awesome, but it still, as a family, we're just going in a lot of different directions at a lot of times.
Oh, that's
I'm sure
right.
that people listening to this are like, oh yeah, that's us too. You know, sport. You mentioned sports, school, family.
Keep up with friends.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
All that stuff. So.
Oh, and work. Yeah, that's.
Oh, that's a big part of it too, isn't it? Yeah. So, you know, I think, Ken, as I've studied this, you know, probably the hardest part of this passage in Luke 9 that I mentioned for most Christians is this idea of denying ourselves, taking up our cross daily and following Jesus. And, you know, because we kind of, as humans, sinful humans, we kind of want what we want, right? Mm. And we want to do what we want to do. In this idea of denying ourselves in place of really first following Jesus and doing what he's asking us to do,
mm-hmm.
that can be hard, can it?
It can.
Yeah.
And maybe harder than people might think, because sometimes we feel like, well, we are fully following Jesus and we're not denying ourselves. I mean, we are denying ourselves because I didn't go do this thing that's a distraction, or I didn't, you know, but let me give you an example on the other side of it. So for me, there's plenty of times when, I'm waking up in the morning, grabbing my coffee. I know I'm getting ready for work soon, so I'm gonna have my coffee, and I want to catch up on what's going on in the world. So I'll pop the news on and watch the news. And there's plenty of times in my brain I'm like, you know, this would be a great time to just sit down and open God's word and have that time.
That's right.
And instead, I'll finish my coffee, watch the news, go get ready for work.
that's a perfect example of not denying myself, you know?
That's right.
And for people, I don't think that that normal routine would register as, or qualify to them as denying yourself and following Christ. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that's exactly what it is. You know, it's exactly putting yourself or what your desires are above what you know. I mean, if you're, I think always, man, you know, again, super convicting just to even say it, right? But I think always, if you think in your mind, hey, this would be a time when I could be in prayer, or hey, this would be a time when I should open God's word, then guess what? You're right. It should be.
That's right.
But when you choose to do something else, even watch the news or have a cup of coffee or whatever it might be, you're not denying yourself at that point. You're fulfilling your desire as opposed to the time that you could spend with the Lord, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's very good. And, you know, Ken, as I've, you know, talked about this with people, a lot of times this idea of, you know, taking up your cross daily and following Jesus, in many Christians' mind, they think that this idea of bearing your cross or taking up your cross daily is I have a cross, meaning a burden to bear, rather than I think it's actually I'm willing to die in order to follow Jesus's process. And a lot to be said about that. But when Jesus was saying those words to a person in the first century, you know, they knew, you know, when a criminal carried his own cross to be crucified, the cross meant only one thing, right? Death by the most humiliating and painful process possible. And so because the Romans forced those condemned to death by crucifixion to literally bear their own cross, it really meant, you know, that this cross, this instrument would bring about their own death. You know, that they knew that, yeah, carrying your cross meant something very different than what it is. And so for us, I will always like to direct people back towards when Jesus says that it's really a losing a control of your life, which, yeah, again, that might be because, you know, to our, you know, we're Americans, but really to people around the world, it's almost kind of anti-normal almost, this idea of what do you mean you're going to lose control of your own life and allow Christ to have control, and yet it's the exact thing that he's asking us to do, isn't it?
Totally. And I think it's important because people don't equate it to the idea that, well, or what they do equate it to is this: sell everything and follow me, you know, sell everything you have and follow me. Don't worry about the dead. Let them bury themselves. Let, you know, follow me, die to yourself and follow me, pick up your cross daily and follow me. And people equate that to like, oh, I've got to be apart from everything that I know, every person that I know, and just be on this soul journey with Jesus. And actually it's no, this journey involves me, Jesus Christ. This journey involves me at the head of the journey. You're following the leader. I'm going before you. You are following me. And all those things, your family and those things, are part of your journey.
That's right.
I just need to be in charge of it in order for you to get the fulfillment that I'm promising you.
Yeah,
I'm promising you a life that is in complete joy and fellowship with me, with no worry. And truthfully, Christ is saying that we can, if we follow him and don't be distracted by these other things, and we do, you know, pick up our cross daily. That's the concept of picking up your cross daily is, like you said, it's not, oh, I have this burden to bear in my life and I have to walk through that because I know that, you know, when I go to heaven, that's going to be gone. No, Christ is saying, pick up your cross daily because it's more important to follow me than to fear death. Those are the extremes. So the picture painted is that, hey, the worst thing that you can imagine in this life is physical death. I mean, you can't really imagine anything worse than physical death.
Right.
So that's the worst thing that you can imagine here. So let me paint a picture for you. It's better for you to pick up your cross going to certain death, physical death, and follow me, you know? And if you can put that I'm in charge of everything and I should be the number one in your life, then all the your number two and your number three and your number four and your number five are all going to be greater. They're all going to be better.
Isn't that great?
He wants to be number one.
Isn't that great? That's really great. Ken, the other obstacle I often find is that, you know, there are aspects of this being a fully devoted follower of Jesus that takes a lot of
faith, right? And so we know from Hebrews 11, which is kind of this faith hall of fame and very famous passage, that we read in Hebrews 11, 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. And then we jump down to verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And so kind of this idea that we're, you know, we're trusting in a God that we can't see necessarily with our physical eyes anyway, right? Mm-hmm. And we're sure that, you know, not only that he exists, but that he rewards people who seek him, and that it's impossible to please God without faith. I think this faith issue kind of gets in the way of people a lot of times being, you know, a fully devoted follower. Do you find that to be true as well?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think people probably just don't understand faith. I think probably at least in the Western culture, you know, we probably throw around words like faith in a lot of ways that are not really applicable to our walk with Christ. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the non-believing world, non-Christian world would say, just have faith, you know, everything's going to be okay.
All right.
You know, and I think that we probably misuse that word a lot, which makes people not really understand the concept of faith.
Yeah, that's right.
The reality of it. I say concept. It's reality. Like, I mean, God is telling us that that this thing called faith is the mechanism to believing and understanding who he is.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so it's interesting, Ken, because I actually had a personal experience with this recently. So I have a really good friend of mine, and we meet, we have kind of a regular once a month coffee that we have together. And, you know, I was mentioning to him, you know, how I was really kind of meditating on this passage in Philippians 3, where Paul's talking about whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And he really struggles with this. And his struggle was, he's like, yeah, the Apostle Paul is in his journey. He had this experience, this what we would call kind of a Damascus Road experience, right? I mean, Jesus literally had this bright light, blinded Paul, was blind for that time. Had an experience where he literally physically, you know, heard from Jesus. And so for him, he's like, I've never had an experience like that before. And so I always really struggle with being able to say what Paul said. It's like, well, Paul, of course Paul is going to be able to say that because he had a Damascus Road experience.
Yeah.
And so my response to him was that I have experienced not physically a Damascus Road experience,
yeah.
But man, I've seen God work in so many amazing ways. I've seen my character change. I mean, if you knew me in my early 20s, you would agree with that, right? I mean, I've become almost a completely different person. The way that the things that I focus on that are important in my life, the purpose of my life, you know. So I haven't had a Damascus Road experience, but when we read in Hebrews 11, 6, that without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. I don't need a Damascus Road experience. I mean, I've had enough personal experience with how God has transformed my life that I do believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So can kind of talk to me about that. Do you struggle with that same thing, or where are you at in kind of this either need to have a Damascus Road experience or not to have one? Because I think that's very applicable to our faith, right?
Yeah. So I would come back to that and say everyone, when they come to the cross, has a Damascus Road experience.
I would say so too.
So, you know, that's the example of Paul. Is that Paul, you know, Jesus said to him, why do you persecute me? You know, because Paul was killing Christians for what he thought was a diversion from their faith, from their religion, from their processes of faith at that time, right? Mm-hmm. So Paul thought he was doing the right thing and as grotesque and evil as it was. And right. Jesus said, hey, look, you're doing the wrong thing. Like, you know, Jesus basically is telling Paul what he told all of us is I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the guy. Mm-hmm. And you're, so I think that whenever somebody comes to the cross and they decide that they are putting their faith and trust in Christ, they accept that he has died for their sin, that he has done that for the purpose of reuniting you with the Father who created you and giving you this gift of eternal life and the eventual place of experiencing glory of the Father. That's a Damascus Road experience. Because that's when Christ, you finally came to Christ and accepted what he's telling you. And it's with Paul, it's that place where, but Christ stepped in instead of Paul searching for Christ and finding Christ. Christ came to him because he knew that Paul would have the impact of transforming the world. And it's interesting, just at church on Sunday, our pastor was talking about how, this very story. And he's saying Paul was this zealot, but Christ wanted to change Paul, but not really change him, right? He wanted to use the attributes that he created him with,
right?
But to expand and amplify the kingdom. Mm. So he's saying, hey, your character is going to change, but those attributes that to be now you're a zealot for me. You know, but for you to go out now and use all the boldness and the just to use the characteristics that Paul had been born and built with by God to now do what Christ wanted him to do. I think that everybody has that kind of experience when it comes to, have I had that life, that moment where I was like, oh, wow, that's my Damascus Road experience. And it changed everything. I've had enough situations where I could see where that's a good analogy, right? Like I've had enough things in my life where God has done something in my life or my family's life where I was like, wow, like that it didn't change my faith. It just maybe intensified it. It enhanced it. It made my faith stronger because of the way that God did something. It was transformative in a way. So yeah, I get the analogy for sure. But I think that the actual place where it's as remarkable as Paul's experience on the Damascus Road would have to be, that's accepting Jesus, right? It's laying down your life and following him.
That's right. That's right. And Ken, there's a lot we could say about the longer you walk with Jesus, the more intimate, you come with him, which to me then kind of relates to we're going to trust him more.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, if there are listeners that struggle with that as well, I would say, a felt distance from God and from Christ is often due to a disruption of trust, such as a sin issue or maybe a disappointment. And actually, my friend, without divulging too much information, is going through a pretty, there are times when, we're disappointed in life, and that's going to be a disruption to that, right? So, and to those people, I would just say, continue to just sort of lean on God. He is faithful. Mm-hmm. His steadfast, we read in Psalms all over Psalms that his steadfast love endures forever. And, hang in there. So in terms of the replies to these two challenges, obviously, sometimes it is hard to follow Christ and to fully trust in him. But I think, what you and I are both saying in this episode, Ken, is that it's worth it, right? I mean, we kind of mentioned this in the last episode, but our best life is lived as we seek deep communion with God, and his glory is revealed as we grow more like Jesus. I think the goal for us is to get to a point where we just feel so overwhelmed with joy at what God has done in our life through Christ that we just every day fall deeper in love with Jesus and just want to. There's kind of a, man, I've seen him work. I'm there's that deep communion. I only want to do that more and more.
Yeah. I 100% agree with that. And just going back to something that is applicable to this is that we had talked about how Jesus said, that we can take his yoke and there's a, his burden is light for us. And then we related that to how it he said to cast all our cares and burdens on him, because all the heavy stuff that we're dealing with, he will take it. So that isn't a place where Jesus said, hey, it's going to be easy for you to follow me.
That's right.
That's not what Jesus is saying.
That's right.
Jesus is saying that that your walk with me will be easy. That personal relationship will be easy. And if you walk closely with me, all of those other things will actually be easy, because you know that I've already got you.
That's right.
But it doesn't mean if you can take apart the struggles of this world are difficult struggles. Mm-hmm. Jesus is saying that there's no struggle too difficult for him.
That's right.
So that level of faith and that level of fellowship with Christ, I've been through enough stuff in my life that's very hard where I go, man, I'm not there. Because it was very, very hard. And it was very, very hard to feel like that was easy during that time. I do think that Jesus is saying it can be.
That's right.
But I think as people, I would never expect that. But I don't think it's, it's a level of faith and intimacy that any of us probably experience, frankly. I think
that
struggles in life are very, very difficult. Jesus is saying that they can be easy, because if you have the closeness and fellowship with me and the intimate relationship with me and the realization of what I have promised you, then all those things will fade away easy.
Yeah.
I've seen the bookmark and heard the people say before, Jesus never said it would be easy. He just said it would be worth it. Well, those words aren't biblical, right? But the concept is,
right.
He said it would be worth it. And it is worth it. And I think that actually, there's probably a place that we should try and get to where it's easier, to go through these struggles, but the struggles are real. We're going to go through them. But Christ has promised us that those things have been overcome. A lot of times we talk about the mission field and we say, we don't worry because Christ has already gone before us. Right. And we even pray that Jesus, please go before us, pave the way for us. And I pray that way. And I think it's smart to pray that way. I want God going before us. But the truth is that Jesus has said, I've already gone before you. In everything that you'll experience in this life, I've already gone before you.
That's right.
It's overcome. It's the victory is done. Mm. Like it's already there. So you can rest in that. That's the easy yoke, the easy burden. That victory has happened and you don't have anything bad to look forward to. Everything that you have to look forward to is greater than what you'll ever see now.
That's right.
So It's a hard thing to grasp sometimes for me, for all of us, I think. But, I do know that everything that's coming is greater than what is now. So, there's some ease in burden there.
Yeah, that's right. So, Ken, as we end the episode, and you and I never have any problem filling up the 30 minutes of our time,
right.
But
35, 40.
Yeah, that's right. It could be more than that. Yeah. But, I often think about, Ken, if you want to have a hour that you waste on YouTube, but it's a kind of a nice waste if there's such a thing. I've often, I don't know if you've heard of these glasses that they make for people who are colorblind.
Yeah.
But they help them see color for the first time. And so you go on YouTube and the company's called Enchroma, and it's just a very sweet time to see these. And so what happens is these people, many times kind of older people who their whole lives they've not even been able to see color, and they put on these glasses for the first time, and inevitably what happens is there's even a video where an older man who, was a Vietnam vet and is kind of this hardened guy. And he even said, I've seen these videos and, we see people are always crying when they, and inevitably he's like, I'm not going to cry, but of course he does. And I think what happens is people who have not been able to see color for the first time, they see it and just the colors are just so overwhelming, and so they end up weeping. And so that's a very common thing in these videos. And I always like to bring that back to our relationship with Christ, because to me, whenever you really do experience who Christ is and what he does, and, as you said, you just, rest in him, this whole deal of being a disciple and listening, learning, and obeying him just becomes a lot easier, because it's like, well, of course I'm going to follow him. Right. So maybe that's a good way to end. So, Ken, thanks so much for your time. I sure appreciate you being here with us. And for those listening, thank you for being with us on this episode. We sure appreciate you. And again, we'd love to hear from you. We do have a suggestion line. You can, if you'd like to hear about, have a suggestion for an episode, we're at 303-335-9658. We'd love to hear from you. Comments, questions, concerns, we'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode, and we look forward to having you with us on the next episode of the Catalytic Podcast.
Thank you for joining me for the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at 18catalyst.org. And never forget, the Great Commission is a command that Jesus gave you as a Christian to obey. I'll be praying for you that you find your part in it. See you next time.